Hello and welcome to Something's Off with Andrew Heaton. I'm your host, Andrew Heaton, and you are a very brisk walker. I am impressed. It is difficult for me to keep up with you. And today, it being a Friday, we're going to do Friday Release Valve. If you're new to the program, this is where we take a break from being thoughtful and substantive. This week, we were thoughtful and substantive all over the place. At one point, I spoke to a British person, but we're done with that. We're done with it. We're going into the weekend. And so what we're going to do is bring on a comedian, and we're just going to kick around fun headlines and amuse ourselves. That's all we're up to. However, it is our 100th episode, and I just want to point that out. We're not going to do anything crazy for it. We should have, but we're not going to. We'll do some crazy stuff in the future. I just want to say, 100 episodes, we have now done the same amount of podcasts that Napoleon Bonaparte did after he escaped Elba, and I'm very proud to have got to that point. I also think ours are better, to be blunt. And I think the way it works, if you listen to this podcast and you've listened to all 100 episodes, you get a watch. That's the rule. That's the law. So anyway, thank you guys for that. And we will bring on Jaron Myers, a very funny comedian that I'm delighted to have back on. We're going to bring him on momentarily. Before we do that, however, we do have to pay the bills. And that means a word from our sponsor. Something's Off with Andrew Heaton is brought to you by razor-tipped wind turbines from Skyblades. Yes, there's nothing like the self-sufficiency and environmental satisfaction you get from powering your house with a wind turbine. You can rest assured that when you buy from Skyblades, you're purchasing the sharpest, deadliest form of wind turbine on the market. No matter how thick the cloud formation, your wind turbine can chop right through it. Might as well call it a sky blender. That's how sharp it is. Just a big rotating scalpel the size of a jet propeller. Quick announcement. Not a big deal. Skyblades is recalling their PX50 mobile wind turbine model. So if you have a PX50, feel free to reach out to the sales department. They're going to talk to you. Get you a replacement and a small gift basket. The PX50 mobile wind turbine is a good idea in theory, isn't it? You can buy one and then relocate it to another property elsewhere. You know, skip all that installation labor. Seems like a sound move, doesn't it? If you switch houses, you don't have to buy a new wind turbine. Good deal, right? Well, I'm not sure why, and I don't think the folks over at Skyblades quite know either. But it would appear to be that these PX50 mobile wind turbines are, for lack of a better term, escaping. Most of them just take to the highway and relentlessly patrol up and down it, looking for flocks of geese to kill, just mulching the slower ones. But a couple of them have seemed to have developed a taste for hot air balloons and hang gliders, so that's a thing. And it goes without saying that, what with an abundant source of free renewable energy, they'll pretty much just keep trundling around the horizon, murdering geese and hot air balloon enthusiast until the National Guard gets called out. Wouldn't use a ski lift if I were you anytime soon, if you're living in Denver, Colorado. One of those things got into a ski resort, and it really just went to town on a bunch of folks headed up the Blue Diamond Slope. And even if you're in some flat location like Hutchinson, Kansas, I wouldn't get too cocky, because the PX50 mobile wind turbine can apparently flip people up in the air, just for sport. So in synopsis, if you purchased a PX50 razor-tipped mobile wind turbine from Skyblades, wouldn't it be great to get a replacement wind turbine of equal or greater value, plus that sweet gift basket that I mentioned earlier? Why, I sure would rather do that with my weekend than, say, take a youth group ziplining. Just a thought. Razor-tipped wind turbines from Skyblades. Flay with all the colors of the wind. My guest today is Jaron Myers. He's very funny. Jaron, hello.
Hey, Andrew.
You're back. You came back. I knew you came back. Everyone said, he's gone. And I was like, no, you know what? I'm going to let him go, and I'm going to trust that he'll come back. Our relationship is built on openness and love.
If you love someone, let them go. They'll come back to you.
Exactly. It's working well for comedians.
I'm a little upset that you said we're not doing anything big for the 100th episode. I guess I'm not big enough.
Hold on. But see, here's so the other joke that I forgot to do is I was going to just tell you, Jaron, you're the guest we've done for 100th episode, and then I was going to reveal that you've actually been on all 100 episodes. It's just what? That we don't let you know. The whole audience is in on this. They know that we're like, well, let's see what Jaron's doing. We tapped his phone, and we have a little thing at the end of every program where we follow you around your house. But then I thought, nah.
I'll tell you what it would be if that really happened. It would be hours of me doing car karaoke, just singing random songs in my car, or just mercilessly sobbing and just crying so much tears. It would be. That's entertaining. That's 100 episodes worth of stuff. There.
I think, if you were to record me, every once in a while I'll sing. Like in the morning I'll put on some Neil Diamond. I like Neil Diamond, and I'll do that. And like sometimes I'll drive to work and I'll sing, not as much as I used to, which is disturbing. I think if you were to follow me around for a day, I would. I imagine most people are like this. I would just sound like a muttering crazy person because I'll be quiet for like an hour, and then all of a sudden I'll feel compelled to punctuate the one thing I've been thinking with thought. So just nothing for an hour, and then because I don't need an umbrella, Gerald, but it'll be me going through some old conversation I had. Yeah. Or alternately looking at a plant in my apartment going, well, I guess this is where I peaked out in terms of responsibility. Taking care of a pet salad. Well done, Heaton.
Pet salad.
And then look at the bone for a dog I don't have.
I would also be singing Neil Diamond songs, but I only listen to Jay White, who is Branson's Neil Diamond impersonator. So
what? Okay. I'm writing this name down right now. Jay White? Okay, great.
Jay White, legends in concert, man. Oh, man. So I'm listening and singing along, but just to different versions.
I'm a big fan of impersonators. I've been on a Lincoln pub crawl as Abraham Lincoln before. It's called.
I was gonna say you look. Yeah, you I know. Look like you've done impersonation.
When I left my job in television, my old boss Kennedy, who is delightful, got a Lincoln impersonator to come to my send off, and I was hanging out with him, and he was like, you know, we have a pub crawl for Lincoln impersonators in upstate New York. I'm like, really? And I got invited to do that. It was fun. It's a pub crawl.
Lincoln impersonators.
For Lincoln impersonators. Yeah, it's called Lincoln, and it's in Peekskill, New York. Definitely, if you're in the upstate, or it's not even upstate, it's just like an hour outside of New York City. If you're in the New York area, it is definitely worth going to. And I think we even talked about this maybe last time you were on, Jaron. I love it when towns are really enthusiastic about being a town. Like they're excited.
Absolutely.
I find that enchanting. And Peekskill, New York, where I went up a couple of years ago as Lincoln to go to this pub crawl, they've got two claims to fame. One, the guy, is it Frank? I can't remember the guy who wrote The Wizard of Oz, but he's from there. And there are yellow bricks. And so they claim that they are the actual yellow brick road, which, all right, stands to reason, right?
Sure.
And then the other thing is they are crazy about Lincoln. There's like a town Lincoln impersonator. There's a Peekskill Lincoln Society. There's like a Lincoln Museum. And I was like, what? Like, isn't he from Illinois? Like, what's your deal? And they're like, oh, yeah. But he, you know what? You'll appreciate this. May 5th, 1860, he gave a speech here for over 17 minutes. And I'm like, you're telling me that Lincoln used the bathroom in your town on the way to something more important in New York City. That's what I'm hearing. But they're jazzed about it.
They took it and run with it. Now, I have a few questions. Do you have to dress like Lincoln to be part of the pub crawl?
No. So I viewed myself, I'm going to say initially, yes, because I was dressed like Lincoln, although I wasn't the best dressed Lincoln. The official Peekskill Lincoln impersonator was the better dressed Lincoln, clearly. Mine was a little bit gimmicky. But I was clearly Lincoln, right? As were the other initial Lincoln, the startup Lincolns that show up like yeast when you're making bread. But then as when we got to like the second or third pub, it's a friendly town. Peekskill's a really nice place. So we're walking around and just people would be like, why are there a bunch of you wearing top hats? We're like, we're doing a Lincoln pub crawl. Come with us. And then like all of a sudden we've got this Pied Piper effect of townspeople coming to join the Lincoln pub crawl. It was good fun.
Well, I was kind of hoping you had to be dressed like Lincoln because I was going to say those are my fitness goals now. I'm just going to get super skinny so that I can be part of the pub crawl. But if I'm told I can do it either way, then I'm showing up as one.
Yeah, you got no reason to lose weight, man. You can just show up whatever you want. Yeah, you're fine.
Everything I do is looking for excuses not to work out. Yeah. That's all I'm doing.
And you've achieved them. I am going to kick at the headlines, although this was a delightful warm-up exercise to get into it. And it served my goal of getting away from the unpleasantness of implying that you as our 100th guest is not a gigantic deal. So I think I've put that to bed.
Wait, also, while you're doing these headlines, because I'm just going to bail on this, you do that. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to Photoshop a picture of you to look like Abraham Lincoln.
All right.
Go ahead with the headlines, man.
I trust that you're funny and talented enough you could do both.
I will.
First headline from the Netherlands. An F-16 makes emergency landing after shooting itself. So this is from our friends over in the Netherlands. I don't think I even need to explain the story. Somehow an F-16 managed, they purchased it, I assume, from us. I don't think F-16s are manufactured anywhere but here. They purchased it from us, and then at some point while out flying and doing this military drill, it shot itself and then had to land. So my read on this is, yes, the Dutch were defeated by their arch nemesis, the Dutch. Well done. And also, don't let Germany know. I just feel like in Germany, just in general, they should just not let any aggressive neighbors know that they apparently shoot themselves. And also, I have no idea how you would shoot an airplane. I mean, like, I know they go fast, but can you outrace a bullet you shoot? That seems weird to me.
You know, so first of all, I agree that I think that the jets are manufactured in the United States. I think that's the only place that I'm pretty sure that's it.
Or the Dutch are stealing them.
Right. Or that. But they're, I don't know, with how tactical this move was, could they get away with it? So I guess I'm just wondering, in what way is it manufactured that it's possible to shoot itself?
Maybe. Go ahead. Sorry. Yeah.
Is there like a self-destruct button that they accidentally hit that they were like, oh no, we got to get out of here. Like, it just implodes on itself. Why is that a design?
If it's like every science fiction movie I've seen, it does have a self-destruct button. That's very
obviously
important. You need to have that. It's very important. Maybe,
yeah.
Okay. Here's my theory. Okay. You know, like in certain cultures, people will fire guns up into the air to celebrate things like New Year's Eve and things like that. Maybe it was some delightful Dutch holiday, like National Wooden Shoe Day or something like that. And they were shooting it up into the air and then they forgot about it and like went 8 miles away, came back, and it hit them on the downward slope. Maybe that's it.
You know, I've heard of that happen. That's pretty common, actually. That's like the fighter jet guy went back. Fighter jet? I can't say pilot. Pilot.
No, fighter jet guy. Fighter jet driver.
Fighter jet guy. Yeah, you know. No, he definitely went back to where the other pilots are just hanging out, and that's a rookie mistake.
I would have tried to save face and been like, guys, I don't want to point fingers at Belgium, but we're pretty close to them, and my jet got shot, so maybe they took a pot shot. I guess I'm okay, but also,
all went up for training exercises, but I'm the only one who took real fire. So who's the real man here, guys?
That would be impressive, too, if he gets a Purple Heart or something like that. Like, he's able to move up in the hierarchy. I don't really know how the Dutch military organization works. I know that Norway...
Is that like the kid in high school who gives himself a hickey on his arm, and he's like, yeah, I got to...
It would be disingenuous of me to say that I nearly joined the Swiss Army, but I made friends with some Swissmen a few years ago, and they were really keen to get me in. I was when I graduated college, I backpacked through Europe, and I was in Switzerland, and I was at some outdoor bar, and there were a bunch of Swiss guys. So we're all like, I'm 23, they're like 19 to 23. I don't know. They're exaggerating.
Right.
And I'm like maybe three beers in at this point, and I just start shouting, "Show us your knives!" And they like finally a guy comes over and he's like, "What?" And I was like, "Show me your knife." And he's like, "What? Like what? Like?" And I'm like, "You're supposed to have Swiss Army knife." And like, and I was very emphatic about it. And I ended up becoming friends with the guys. And like I think I wore a uniform at one point. And there was one guy that was like, he thought I'd make a really good tank driver. Like, and he was selling me on it. And he's like, "No, it's great. We haven't been to war with anybody since I think Napoleon is the last time Switzerland went to war. But like, all the guys have to join the military, so it's sort of like Boy Scouts with tanks." Like it's a camping trip with your buddies and firearms. And he was like, "Yeah, man, like I can't do a Swiss German." He's like, "You know, my sister Greta, she's single. Like, you know, maybe we introduce you while you're in town, and then if you kick it off, you could get married and join it." And like, I probably should have done that. I'd probably have a pretty kicking life.
You have a strong tank driver vibe.
Yeah,
is what you're saying.
Yeah, if I'd done that by now, I'd be like an admiral in the Swiss tank fleet. I don't know how Swiss ranks work.
Some people look at you and they go, that guy's a tank driver. Other people look at you and go, that guy's Abraham Lincoln.
Yep. And I, you know what, I'm confident that the veterans that listen to the program that have actually seen combat, when they look at me, are like, oh, that guy, clearly a tank driver. That jokesmith over there, he's a man of true seriousness and grit that could be counted on in a combat situation, having had zero before. I'm sure that they all agree with me on that one. Yeah.
Yeah. That guy would get in the tank and definitely not shoot the tank.
You got to give me that. You got to give me that. Maybe in an F-16, I'd end up shooting the F-16. Probably wouldn't shoot my own tank. And if I did, it would be impressive.
Yeah.
All right. So jumping over to our friends in the north from Canada, I think from Winnipeg, man who accidentally stole car 21 years ago, searching for vehicle's owner. This is one of the most Canadian stories I've ever read, because it is ultimately an apology tour, which I think is the defining characteristic of the Canadian psyche. And it's also very polite and generally nice. So this guy, this is 21 years ago. I think he was 17 at the time. He was a lifeguard at a local water park pools. He was a lifeguard at a pool.
And, local pool.
Yeah, a local pool. And one of his coworkers asked him to go get Slurpees for everybody and loaned him her keys. And he had a couple of errands to run because his car was in the lot or something. And so he did a couple of errands first. He went out, I'll back up. He went into the parking garage. She had like a white, I don't remember what kind of, like a Ford Contour type car, like some
right.
intermediate Ford car, white.
Intermediate.
Yeah, intermediate yes. Ford car. And the windows were rolled down. It was unlocked. He got in. He had a little bit of trouble starting it, but eventually when he jammed in the keys hard enough and twisted hard enough and put a seatbelt on it, it worked okay. And so he went, got the Slurpee, actually went to the police station, and what turned out, if you're following along, you've probably figured this out, audience, that this is not his car, that he just somehow was able to get it to start. Actually drove to the police department to pay for the ticket on his car, got locked out of this car because it wasn't his car, and then was trying to get back in. The police came over and were like, hey, what, you're locked out of your car? And he's like, yeah, it's my friend's car. I can't get into it. So they help him get into the stolen car, and then he drives back. Doesn't really think anything about it till the following day when he sees the car still there, and he thinks that he'd ruined the car and his coworker had not been able to drive home. And no, it just turns out he took a stranger's car for a series of errands over the course of the day. And I read this story, and the thing that amazed me was, Jaron, is it possible all car keys are the same? Is that possible that they just they make like 8 different keys and no one's ever thought to try this out?
Yeah, no, I think that's definitely possible. I think that's, I think keys, they just do that for the psychological effect.
Yeah.
It literally does not matter what the ridges are.
Right. Oh, it's possible. I mean, like, or maybe it's, I have honestly no idea how they do it. It might be
he just jammed it hard enough and it started.
Yeah. Right. Maybe this is a Canadian thing. Maybe like all cars in Canada are ultimately the honor system. And
they just really trust each other.
Yeah. And like, the keys is more of just like it's a convention. You're supposed to put keys in, but you don't really need them.
So he doesn't use a fork. Still have that car.
No, he didn't keep it. That would be very impressive. And that would also raise some doubts as to the honesty of this story that he accidentally stole a car. He returned it, and he is now reaching out to try and find this person so he can apologize to them, and is on the lookout for that. What was your first car, Jaron? Oh, go ahead. Sorry.
My first car was a Ford Ranger. It was also an intermediate Ford vehicle.
One of those intermediate Fords. Yeah.
Right. I just want to get the story straight. He stole somebody's car.
Yeah.
Returned it.
Yeah.
And then
did errands and went to the police station and then returned it.
Right. Did they notice?
I don't know. I mean, I suppose it's possible. It's possible that they, like, no one even realized that it was gone and that they were indoors all the time. I think they probably would have for this reason. There had to be a key handoff at some point, right? Like, I could be wrong about the logistics of this.
Right.
He might have, for some reason, he might have left the keys in the ignition. But hold on. No, because it's not the keys to that car. Yeah, you're right. It's possible no one ever knew.
Yeah. Well, you know, to be honest, my friend did this one time, but instead of a car, it was a child.
Did they give it back?
My friend, Well, yeah. I mean, my friend's girlfriend told him to pick up her son from daycare. They had just started dating. He had not met her son yet. So he goes to pick up her kid, picks up a boy, and goes back to their apartment. And they've been hanging out all afternoon. And she comes home and says, "Who is this?" That's true. That happened to one of my friends. And so,
which is the absolute 100% best case scenario for having your child taken by a stranger is that it's an accidental friendly boyfriend that's just playing video games with a kid until the girlfriend comes home.
He's like, "Honestly, babe, if your kid didn't look like every other 1998 Ford Taurus, all right, then maybe this wouldn't happen." Wow. Yeah,
good for him. We took one of my friend's cars one time when we were in high school. He went out of town. He had a van which was completely incorrectly called the Sex Pod. That was a very inaccurate description of the van. We should have just called it the van. But he went out of town. One of my friends, cleverly at church, had to run some errand and was like, "Hey, can I borrow your van?" And he's like, "Yeah." So my friend McGee, we'll bleep that out. I think the statute of limitations is gone. We'll bleep that out. My friend gets his keys, immediately drives to a Home Depot and makes like five copies of this car key.
Wonderful.
Runs the errand, goes back, and Young goes, "All right, give me the keys." And he's like, "Yeah, here are your keys." He's like, "All right. And I know that you're the kind of person that would have made copies of the keys. I want those copies of the key." And McGee's like, "Yeah, you got me." And he's like, "And I also know that you would probably have made a spare copy knowing that I would do that." And he went, "Yeah." And then a couple of minutes subsided. He's like, "You have another." And but McGee had made enough of these. And so we spent a week in just joyriding around with his van. We took funny photos with it, that kind of thing. It was a fun time. Stealing cars is a wholesome activity, in my opinion.
Right. I mean, as long as it's returned, no harm, no foul.
That is the rule. That's the law. It's in the Constitution.
Yep. That's in the Constitution. That our forefathers said, "What's not yours could be yours temporarily."
Yeah, you steal a horse, as long as you feed and return that horse, it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
Over in Oregon, deputies surround burglar in Oregon home, only to find out the suspect is a Roomba trapped in the bathroom.
Okay, this would happen to me.
I was about to say, I don't think I really have to explain this too much. Apparently, some lady locked her Roomba in her bathroom, and then she could see something going underneath the door. And so she ended up calling the police, which I assume was a fun day for the cops. Or is it a harbinger of when robots take over? Maybe this is just the beginning. Maybe this is a preview of when you're calling police to get robots out of your bathroom instead of a burglar.
Well, this is a Kevin McAllister move, all right? This is a Home Alone trap set. Okay, I'm serious. She left. Kevin McAllister setting up in case those burglars come in, then they think someone's in the bathroom. That's the only logical explanation.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But I would 100% do this because I am very easily spooked. I can't handle it. Like, if I came home and that was happening, I would have burned the house down already.
that's your response to burglars? Is just set the house on fire?
Oh,
if I can't have it,
absolutely.
You can't either, and also you're gonna die.
I'm not gonna let that person temporarily take my house. I don't care.
You will burn down your van. You will blow up your jet. No one is going to take it from you.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's probably why that jet guy was shooting his own jet, you know, because he was like, "No one else can have this."
Yeah, he was afraid some Canadian was going to inadvertently borrow it.
But seriously, dude, when I go into a hotel room or even come home to my apartment, the first thing I do is check the shower for murderers.
Yeah.
I'm paranoid.
The only touch of that, I'm not too paranoid. I do have this weird thing where I live in an apartment. It's a nice building. I mean, there's no reason for me to worry about anything. It's got the double lock thing, right? So it's got the one that you lock from the outside, but then there's like a deadbolt, I guess, from the inside. And whenever I am closing that, there's like a 10% part of me that thinks someone's about to kick the door open, that like, I better do it now or someone's going to blow that door down. And so far, no trouble whatsoever.
Yeah. No one's ever done it, but
I'll tell you, back to the robot thing. I have been mistaken as a robot multiple times. Over the course of my career, not where people meet me and think I'm a robot, although there are some theories. But over the phone, because I've got this kind of announcer voice, And it sounds like I'm the guy.
You got a real press six to talk to a real person voice.
That's yes, exactly. Yes, exactly. I've got a press six voice. Yeah, I used to have a when I worked for Congress, I'd you know, hello, you've reached Tim Holden's office, you know, or whatever it was. And then people would get mad and be like, why don't they have a human doing this job instead of a robot? This is an American job. And I'm like, ma'am, I'm a man. I'm drinking coffee right now. I touched a girl one time. And then sometimes people would mess with me. One guy was like, if you were a robot and you were programmed to think you were a person, how would you know? And I had to go home and watch Blade Runner and prick myself. Right. Very disturbing. It took a lot of anime, guys. It was tough. I've had a tough life.
you questioned a lot of things. Yeah. You looked yourself long and hard in the mirror and you were like, okay.
But I'm
who is Andrew Heaton?
Reasonably confident. I'm reasonably confident I'm a person. I've had enough head wounds at this point with blood that I'm pretty
sure.
Jury's
still out.
Yeah. I could be, Westworld type robot, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
Here's a wholesome story. Several Belhaven neighbors, and this is in, I'm not sure which state this is. I think maybe it's Washington. Belhaven neighbors find bowls of mystery mashed potatoes in their front yard. And that's pretty much it. Someone in their neighborhood just keeps leaving mashed potatoes there, which they find ominous. I've got a theory on this. I think goblins have finally decided to own up the crap they've been doing for the last 2,000 years, and now they're trying to make amends. And they're going around, and rather than stealing stuff and like shoving toddlers into wells or whatever it is goblins do, you know, ruining airplane parts. I guess that's gremlins.
Yeah.
Nonetheless, they're bringing potatoes. So thank you. We accept your surrender.
Well, you know, nothing brings a neighborhood together like some good mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
That's every time I moved into a new neighborhood, sometimes neighbors will offer up warm apple pie.
Yeah.
And I said, you know what? That's not inviting enough. I want mashed
apple pie. Are you telling me you're giving me hospitality and I have to chew? No, thank you. I want something I can drip down my gullet.
I want. Is there gravy on those mashed potatoes? That's the question.
Yeah.
I have a very similar thing that's happened to me though.
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
Is that so? A few years ago, I got a phone call and someone was like, "Who is this?" And I was like, "My name's Jaren." What? And they were like, a potato was put on my front porch with this phone number on it. And I was like, what? And then I received like three other phone calls and a few texts from people who sent me a picture. Someone had written my cell phone number on a potato and left it on random people's front porches. People I did not know. Just random. And so for like 3 weeks, I was getting phone calls from strangers who were like, hey, this potato's on my front porch with your phone number on it. And I was like, okay. But then, and I thought that was pretty funny. Like,
yeah.
I thought that was one of my fans being, you know, pretty goofy. They're leaving potatoes. And it was all like in the Springfield, Missouri area. So like I knew it was somebody there. And then my mom called and said, hey, are you down here? And I said, no, I'm in Kansas City. And she said, so you didn't put this potato on our front porch. So this is where it got creepy because my parents live out in the middle of nowhere. So someone went to my parents' house and put a potato with my phone number on the porch. And that made me feel that was some goblin level stuff.
That is goblin level stuff. I think the terrifying thing I think would be, and I don't think any of my listeners know where I live. So I can hazard this, but I think the terrifying thing would be, let's say tonight, Jaren, you go back to your skyrise and you go into your apartment there in the penthouse and you wake up the following morning and there's a potato on your front porch and it has five written on it. And then tomorrow, four. And then the following day, three.
No.
And you're like, oh no, what happens when we get to the zero spud? I don't know. Like that would be the truly terrifying. Have you ever heard of, when did this happen? Because I've got a theory.
That was a year and a half ago.
Okay.
No potatoes since.
All right. Okay. So there is a company. I think they are still existent. It's called Potatograms. And
yes. That's what a lot of people said. They said there's people who are mailing potatoes.
Yeah. We did that. I've done that to a couple of people. My friend Crepo. I sent him, I think I sent him a potato that just said Crepo on it. It wasn't even that imaginative. Yeah. He figured it out instantaneously. Like, he opened, I think they mailed it to him. He opened it, it was just a potato with his name on it. He's like, that's Heaton. Heaton sent me a potato.
Yeah.
Like, he immediately figured it out.
Yeah. 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 I still don't know who did this.
This is the best potato mystery I have ever heard in my entire life. Congratulations. I'm not even going to, I had anecdotes. I'm going to drop them. They pale in comparison to your awesome potato story.
You know, I'm really hoping that 21 years from now, some Canadian reaches out and is like, hey, you know, the whole potato thing, it was a misunderstanding.
Yeah, that was, I got my number wrong.
Also, I took your car for a while there, so thanks for that.
That is fantastic. We'll do one or two more. We'll do one or two more. This one was terrifying. Doctors find 4 bees in woman's eyes feeding on her tears. This was, I think it was maybe in Hong Kong or Taiwan, and there is a festival or a holiday called the Sweeping of the Tombs, where people go visit their ancestors and they sweep it out. And this lady was, I think, kneeling and brushing with a broom, and something got in her eye, and she just assumed it was dirt, and she rinsed it out with water and apparently did not vigorously rub it, but she went in the following day to a doctor, and the doctor began, listeners, I'm so sorry. You might want to skip the next 30 seconds if you're squeamish. I'm giving you that. But he looked and he could see what looked like insect legs, and he pulled them out with tweezers.
No.
And there were 4 tiny bees, some kind of bees that had got into her eyelid, and they were starved for salt. And so they were eating her tears. And I don't want to live on this planet anymore. I don't want to live here. This is horrible. First Florida, then all the stuff in Australia that's apparently trying to kill me. And then IBs. No, thank you. I'm done.
Yeah, man. I've read about this in a great story called Dante's Inferno. That is bees in your eyes that feed on your tears.
Yeah. Is there some book of Revelations that I'm missing here? Is this one of the signs that we should be on the lookout for?
Okay, here's the thing. I'm questioning the kind of person she is, all right? Because that does not just happen naturally, okay?
Yeah.
That is a punishment. That's a punishment of some kind. I don't know.
She messed with the wrong ancestor. She did not sweep hard enough.
Yeah.
She should have swept a lot harder.
Oh, my goodness. That's terrifying.
Yeah, that would definitely... You know what? I got to say, that would spook me a lot. If I were tending my grandfather's grave or something and I came home with eye bees... I would assume that some malicious element.
It's like, first of all, I got left off the will. Okay,
yeah.
I get it.
Okay,
but
yeah.
Second of all, you're gonna put bees in my eyes now. Okay, I get it, Grandpa. You didn't like me.
Terrifying.
All right. I don't like that at all.
Here's a better one.
I did read in that story. Well, hold on, I did read this because I pulled this story up.
Uh-huh.
I did read that they included the part where they said that they got the bees out alive.
Thank God. No bees were hard. Those eye bees can plunge into somebody else's orbital socket to cause them misery and pain and eat their tears.
Now that they've gathered an appetite for human tears, now we've got those things out.
Yeah, don't go to Taiwan. Just avoid that island. I don't want to go to the eye bees island. No, thank you. I'm gonna go to Jamaica or I don't know, Honduras or something. I mean, wherever they don't have eye bees. Ugh.
Absolutely.
Slightly better one. In New Jersey, a dentist is in a fight with a neighbor over risque Easter bunny lawn display. So I'll have to describe this for you. And I'm not sure whether it's the dentist or the neighbor, but someone in this neighborhood has decided to decorate their lawn for Easter by putting up some pretty attractive mannequins, I gotta say. Like, these look like they're mannequins from an adult store, not mannequins from like JCPenney's, which tend to be more, you know, like they're more... Like, you don't have facial expressions. These are very realistically mannequins. And this person's dressed them up in lingerie and then to make them bunnies, has put them in like Playboy bunny outfits. So they've got the bunny ears. And it's just got like, I think, 7 of them standing sentry in his lawn. I assume it's a he. Is standing sentry at his lawn. And so the neighbor got really angry and went over and took him out with hedge clippers. And it's turned into a whole thing. I'm fine with this. I would prefer that over lawn gnomes. I would prefer that over pink flamingos. I enjoy a good. Also, like, I would honestly, and I realize that we cover a lot of politics on the show, and I know that a lot of people probably have campaign signs in their yard, but in complete sincerity, if I were moving to a neighborhood and there was a house to my left that had a bunch of mannequins in hot bunny outfits, and then another house that had political signs of any type, I would rather go hang out at the hot bunny house. I just feel like it's going to be better conversation.
Yeah. Well, my first thoughts, to be honest with you, Andrew, is hearing you describe mannequins the way you just did.
Confirms the robot suspicion.
I was going to say, does not help the I'm not a robot thing at all. But yeah, I'm looking at these pictures of these mannequins. And now, I'm confused why they clarified that he's a dentist.
Yeah, that seems unnecessary.
Yeah, or like New Jersey dentist.
Right.
In fight with, like, what? Like, that's. All right.
They're like there's somebody at home. Like, he's putting up risque lawn ornaments. That's going to traumatize children. I mean, is he a dentist? It would be okay if he's a dentist,
right.
But oh, he is.
Right.
All right, that's fine then. That makes sense. That checks out.
Yeah, that's, you know, totally whatever. People are upset the dentist has bunnies in his yard. Okay. Yeah, this is what Easter is all about, man. It's just
lingerie and neighbors. It is straying away from the true meaning of Easter, which is of course Easter eggs and candy.
I do agree with the political signs though. Like, I would, if those are the neighbors I want to hang out with, because there's a lot of thought and effort put in.
Right.
This,
okay? No, there's that guy is probably a good chat. It is unlikely that you would go over and he'd be like, oh, I don't got nothing to talk about. It's just like Netflix. I don't like anything. No, that guy's got some ideas running through his head.
And if you think these girls are risky for Easter, you should see their Christmas outfits. Okay. Because it is, they got to line down the street. You know?
Can't wait for Arbor Day. He could become the neighborhood the neighborhood weirdo. Not always a bad thing. There's some pretty cool neighborhood weirdos there. Jaron, thank you for coming on the show. Before you leave, you were apparently going to be in Texas. There are people that listen to this program who live in Texas.
Yeah.
I have, when Turner Sparks was on, this is a true story. When Turner Sparks was on, because he's a comedian that comes on periodically, he was in town to do a show. I was doing it with him. We talked about it on the podcast, and people that listened to the podcast came and listened to us at the show. They came up and talked to me afterwards, and I was blown away. So anyway, where are you performing?
So on Saturday, April 13th, I'll be at First Baptist Church, Waxahachie.
Mm-hmm.
It's a show you can buy tickets to that night. I think it starts at 7 o'clock. On Sunday.
Gotta walk back all those rabbit jokes you just made about the sexy bunnies, don't you? Your face is red. Waxahachie Baptists are going to listen to this and be mad at you.
They're going to be like, whoa, well, and they don't listen to your program. So
<They might.
laughs> I'm just kidding. On Sunday, I'm partnering with an organization called Backyard Orphans. And what they do is they.
Is that what I think it is?
Backyard Orphans?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's got nothing to do with the mannequins. We're off that.
Okay, all right. I'm sorry. Yes, okay.
So,
all right.
So Backyard Orphans is an organization that resources parents who are interested in fostering by helping them get connected with other parents who do that. And so one of the main reasons people don't adopt or foster children more is because they feel like they're alone or they don't have the resources to do that. So if they've got a community, they're much more likely to succeed in that endeavor. And so that's a huge thing for me. And so it's a fundraiser on Sunday to help them. And like, there's like power sports. So like off-road vehicles and motorboats and all that stuff on Sunday. And so all that info is on my website, jaronmyers.com, JaronMyers.com. You can get the tickets there.
Terrific. Jaron, thank you for joining me. I hope to see you this weekend. And thank you for coming
out.
Okay, before we leave, I just want to thank you for listening to this program. In general, I appreciate you guys listening, but for those of you that listen to every episode, and I know that several of you do, for the hardcore Heatonites who live in Hutchinson, Kansas, and Boise, Idaho, and a few other places, I appreciate you listening to this program. I make a very big effort on this, which I think you know, to avoid the pitfall that happens in media and politics a lot, which is figuring out a way to monetize hate and fear. There are a lot of people that make serious bank getting you to be angry and getting you to fear your neighbor and look across that yard and not be afraid of the guy with the rabbits in the mannequins, but to be afraid of the person that's got a sign that's the wrong color and to view them as an existential threat. I think that the American people are smarter and better than the cynics who profit off of dividing us think we are. And I am so happy to do this program, and I can only do it because you're listening to it. So I want to thank you for doing that, and I look forward to seeing what this turns into. I look forward to the next few years, and appreciate you. Thank you. And I appreciate listener feedback in general. Hardesty says on iTunes, whether it's the cleverness of the ads he runs for his sponsors or if it is his witty commentary about the news of the day, from political to everyday things, Andrew is a force to be reckoned with. Why, thank you. I feel like I said this nice thing to you guys, and then immediately, granted we staged it, but then immediately you said something nice back to me. I feel like I got a hug. What a nice way to conclude my Friday. You can watch this whole show on YouTube. If you look for Something's Off with Andrew Heaton, you can see my handsome bearded face, an assortment of suits, and the dead bison head we screwed to the wall. I also happen to have a picture of PJ O'Rourke on one side. You can check all of that out. And if you watch Something's Off with Andrew Heaton on your computer, it will only make you seem more sophisticated and amusing at your office or prison cell. So go to YouTube and start watching full episodes. I look like I'd be comfortable taking a mud bath in the nude. Okay. All right. Sure. Remember, you can always tweet me at Mighty Heaton or Facebook me at facebook.com/MightyHeaton or even email me by subscribing to my newsletter at MightyHeaton.com and just replying when I send it out on Fridays. Hold on. Do you not wear, I didn't write that line about the mud baths. Are you supposed to wear clothing when you get into mud bath? I'm going to talk to Jennings about this after the show. This raises a lot of questions about mud baths. I just sort of assumed you'd be naked and it wouldn't matter anyway, but maybe not. I don't know. Anyway, where was I? I got off track. You should subscribe, rate, and review this podcast. That helps other people discover this here political orphanage. Thank you. Thank you for being here for the 100th episode, and have a great weekend.